Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Carrie Underwood was a major diva and threw a lot of hissy fits behind the scenes on Monday.
How can anybody say that? She had no backing track and she sang a cappella.
Yeah.
I would have freaked out too. Been like, really? You want me to do this? Okay, let's do this. I think she showed her professionalism.
I agree. I mean, look, you know, it's not like if I call for the big take and the system crashes. Yeah, you know, you just got to make it work. You make it happen. You know, it's an imperfect world. Screws fall out all the time. But according to the New York Post, yeah, she was a pain in the butt.
Really?
She was a pain in the butt, yeah.
Well, she didn't... Yeah, she put on a good face then.
I was just going to say that.
Because when you looked at her, she just said, I got this.
Yep.
She rocked it.
Uh-huh.
Amazing. She did an amazing job.
I have that clip. We'll play that a little bit later in the show. All right. Before we get to Eric Adams and a ton of revelations about what not only he was told, and you'll hear it directly from his mouth, but what I imagine many other Democrat mayors in big cities and sanctuary cities, as well as Democrat governors, have been told over the last 4 years by the outgoing administration. And that is coming up shortly. Plus, Fetterman squashes the rumors that people have been talking about.
Shocking.
Yeah, shocking, right? But apparently there's this rumor out there that there is this Democrat senator that might flip in transition parties, but we'll see. Let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:05. The great Dawn Stensland.
Yeah, Nick, I was just pointing out because CNN is leading with exactly what you predicted.
Oh.
They had interviewed the bishop yesterday.
Uh-huh.
They're leading with
Trump's
post. Yep.
At 12:39.
Slamming.
Yeah.
So you predicted it.
Yeah. Now, if I can just pick the Eagles game on Sunday, I'll be just fine.
Yeah, what do you win?
Yeah, thank you for making me $80 richer, by the way, on FanDuel. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Nice. So we have a lot in the news today. Kale and Company News Live this hump day, Wednesday, and a wicked wintry weather day for us. Still about 30 degrees below normal temperatures for this time of year, January 22nd, sponsored by Kitchen Magic this morning in Kale and Company. So we do have code blue warnings, all kinds of warnings, not just in Philadelphia with the code blue, but as well surrounding suburbs across the region as we deal with the deep freeze, as it were. And we do have some delayed openings for daycare centers, schools. So you want to make sure you check on that. We've been talking about the fact that there will be an autopsy to determine the exact cause of death, and a real tragedy, as we've learned, that Philadelphia police say a 92-year-old lady in Philadelphia's Winfield section, reportedly they believe that she may have frozen to death, that the deep freeze is the cause of her death. So a real tragedy in there. We'll look for all of those answers. We have Philadelphia City Council holding a special meeting today, and this has to do with how to deal with or mitigate the policies recently that have gone into effect, are going into effect with regard to immigration, birthright citizenship, and this as well as New Jersey's Matt Platkin and attorneys general across the nation, 22 different states, filing suits, lawsuits filed by Democrat attorneys general across the nation, accusing President Trump of seeking to eliminate what they say is a well-established, long-standing constitutional principle by executive fiat, saying the president of the United States has no authority to rewrite or nullify a constitutional amendment or duly enacted statute, nor, they say, is he empowered by any other source of law to limit who receives U.S. citizenship at birth. So that's at the heart of this lawsuit. Like I say, 22 states, but the one leading off this biggity big lawsuit that'll no doubt end in the Supreme Court is New Jersey.
Yeah. Just separating birthright citizenship from just deportations with illegal immigration. I am really fascinated, and we'll probably do a big take on some of this tomorrow with the deportations underway and some of the sound bites that are coming out and the data points. But I really want to see if these blue city mayors and blue state governors really try to challenge and prevent Tom Homan and ICE and everybody involved in the deportations. Just that posturing that we have heard and we have seen, I'm interested in seeing how that actually plays out in the field, so to speak.
Now, what happened? There were reports that they were going to do the raid in Chicago, that it was leaked. Homan was furious about that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I know we'll talk about that.
As of over the weekend, they were saying deportations start Tuesday.
Yes.
So, yes, something. The word got out somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So, when the word gets out on something like that, you can't really go through with it. So.
It's kind of a double-edged sword, right?
Yeah.
Because you're calling your shot, you're telegraphing it in advance. Hey, I'm going to throw to this receiver 2 days from now. You might want to cover him, right?
Yep.
You shouldn't do that. But it's also led to the exodus of self-deportations. We've seen those headlines where people in the last 72 hours are like,
amazing.
Time to skedaddle.
Self-deporting.
Yep.
By the way, for all the Commanders fans out there, Jalen Hurts is going to give the ball to Saquon Barkley.
Yes. And there's nothing you can do about it. Not even Tom Homan can stop that.
Pro tip from Greg Stocker.
Yes.
So we're following that. I'll just point out to you of the 22 states in our region. So it's New Jersey, Delaware, notably not Pennsylvania, because Pennsylvania, these are all Democrat attorneys general. We, of course, have Dave Sunday, who is a Republican here in Pennsylvania. So I'll just point that out. So Pennsylvania is not one of the states named in this lawsuit across the nation. Just wanted to put that out there, a little local coverage for you, right? So we'll see what the reaction is and where this one goes. As far as the Philadelphia city, we've talked about the city of Philadelphia, I should say, launching this new program that we've been leading up to. And this is with regard to the Kensington neighborhood. Some of you have called and said, hey, they did have that cleanup that happened last summer, but it's back to, unfortunately, homeless and drug addicted people out on the streets and the crime. And so this is a phase two, if you will, with an executive order by Mayor Sherelle Parker of Philadelphia, introducing what she calls Wellness Court. So the Kensington Wellness Court, which is a first of its kind in the region, offering an alternative to jail time for those struggling with substance abuse. It's part of the city's effort to address the ongoing challenges, they say, in Kensington. So they're still going to clean up. If somebody's homeless out there doing drugs, they're not going to tolerate these open drug markets anywhere in the city of Philadelphia.
Hard to believe that they ever thought that that was a good idea from Jump Street.
Well, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Tent cities.
Yep.
Fulton Jack writes in and says, the methadone clinics and rehab centers in Kensington are so incompetent and corrupt, I don't think I would send a loved one to them. I mean, he's not wrong.
Okay.
So this one's in the Holmesburg section of Philadelphia, Riverview Wellness Center, and they've opened this treatment and recovery facility. Now, apparently you can stay there for a year or more or go back. I'm not sure how it all works, but it sounds to me like
it's like a long...
It's a long-term...
Preloaded debit cards?
Sorry. I don't know if you stay at Riverview or if they're trying to get people in the halfway houses.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're following some of the models in Europe that have been successful in, some of the Scandinavian countries where they've had zero tolerance for homelessness and the open drug markets. But on the other hand, they get people to a treatment facility, dry them out, and then they get them to like a halfway house and try to, kind of ease them back into society, basically.
Does anybody actually believe that this will have any major successful impact in the community?
Absolutely not.
I agree.
I've seen videos and pictures. I think Sergeant Mark Fusetti posted them just a couple days ago. Kensington isn't cleaned up.
No.
Like, it's not.
No.
It's still the S-hole that it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad.
Yeah.
So the only thing I can say to it is that old saying that doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result is the definition.
That's right.
So at least they're trying something different. They're looking around the world, trying to find places that have found solutions. Mm. And I think these are pilot programs. I think they're partially through different state and federal funding grants.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're just... Basically, it's like throwing spaghetti at the wall. I hate to say
it. Yeah, see what sticks.
Some of this is, I think, the opioid money. Remember from all the settlements, too, that we get some of the money from those. So,
are they still doing Trank in Kensington?
I think they're doing everything, Nick. I hate to say
that. Remember that? Remember all those stories we saw?
I mean, have you seen the zombies? Of course.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's
flesh-eating diseases. Oh, yeah. It's just awful.
When you see them, like, kind of slumped over and, like looking like zombies, that's Trank.
Yeah.
That's Trank.
Yeah.
Good times.
And look,
looks like a fun drug.
I would love to believe that we could clean it up, and I would love to make it. Trust me, if we're going to take our tax dollars, Would I rather clean up Kensington or ship over another $500 million to Zelensky? No, I'd rather clean up Kensington.
By the way, can we take those drug addicts and send them to send them over the border?
Stop.
You're going to get lectured in, in a sermon. Don't say that.
Oh, yeah, it's fine. That's why I don't go to church.
By the way, just
because I know I would go there and I would burst into flames.
Could you get through could you get up the first step without bursting into flames?
Yeah, there's a reason Trump didn't put his hand on the Bible. It's the same reason I don't go into church.
I'll tell you what, man. You can sell Bibles are a good business. I might start selling them.
We have a lot of weather to talk about across the country, these historic deadly storms, snowstorms, people seeing snow for the first time of their lives across the South, even New Orleans, Louisiana, and obviously we're feeling the Arctic chill. Then out west, Santa Ana winds continue whipping through Southern California through tomorrow, and that's sparking renewed fears that the progress made fighting the wildfires for these poor firefighters, scorching more than 40,000 acres, 28 dead, could be reversed, and they're expecting more fires to break out. 10 million people across parts of Southern California under these red flag warnings.
I heard a congressperson or somebody from California say these wildfires are our 9/11.
Well,
yeah.
God.
I mean, I hate comparing anything to 9/11, but you get the point for sure.
Jeez.
Yeah.
The other big story, and it's making local headlines as well as national headlines, and this is these DEI new rules under President Donald Trump's administration directing that all federal diversity, equity, and inclusion DEI staff be put on paid leave. That must happen by the deadline tonight of 5 p.m. Agencies develop plans to lay these individuals off. And the memo follows the executive order signed on his first day, ordering a sweeping dismantling of the federal government's diversity and inclusion programs that could really touch on everything from training, like DEI or anti-bias training, to funding for minority farmers, homeowners. I saw my friend Kathy Barnett putting out on X, and she said, wait a minute, how do they know? Are they going to fire all the black women? So there are people going on both sides of the aisle going, wait a minute, what does this look like? I believe that what they're doing is people who have the title of DEI trainer,
yeah, mm-hmm,
or the DEI manager
out
title, which is
get
a newly
out
created position.
Get them out. Right.
I don't think these are people presumed because of the way you
no
look.
Right. No.
You know
they're,
what I mean?
Yeah,
you have that title.
Who was the guy we just said, Nick? There was a guy that did something and you came back from a break and said he was the head of some DEI training.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But it's the people who have that title as,
yes,
like, you know, head of DEI initiatives and stuff like that.
Well,
those are the people that are
the guy who was the badmouth Eagle fan.
Yes, that's it. That's
that
it.
Spoke down and called the Packers chick the C word.
Yep.
He's a DEI mm-hmm coordinator or something,
yep,
by day trade.
Yep, exactly.
And a scumbag at night and on the weekends.
So if I have that title, I'm going, no, it's DEI, Doge, Enlightenment, In for Trump. That's what it is, DEI.
Yeah. now that Vivek is out of Doge, do we drop off the GE? Is it just do now? Do we have to rebrand it? I'm just wondering.
Do.
Silly. By the way, Eagles, if you try to get those tickets that went on sale yesterday, these prices are reaching historic highs, so you can't really find anything under $500.
Wow.
It's and they're saying historic highs if you're trying to get even one ticket,
yeah,
for the big NFC championship game Sunday at 3.
A lot of people were not expecting another home game this year.
I know.
The assumption was we were going to Detroit to play the Lions. And somebody didn't give Jaden Daniels and the Commanders that memo.
Within 11 minutes, by 10:11 yesterday morning, mm-hmm, Ticketmaster put out a note that availability was highly limited. Basically, these things just sold out. And then the average price, I guess they're doing a reselling on StubHub, running more than $1,200.
Oh, yeah.
I got to say, guys, the Commanders really impressed me against the Lions.
Agreed.
They looked really good. They looked really good. I mean, look.
Jaden Daniels, I'll just say, he's a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts as a rookie.
Uh-oh.
What?
Oh. I mean, he's
blasphemy.
He's a
blasphemy. In the house of Odyssey.
If you told me if I was doing sports, would you trade Jalen Hurts for Jaden Daniels right now?
So
I would.
So you're thinking Commanders win?
No, Eagles by double digits. But I'm just saying I like Jaden Daniels better.
Wow,
than Jalen
look at that! Hurts. Very nice. Yeah. Okay, I get you. Yeah, I don't. I mean, just we've played them so many times, yeah. And the results have always been not great for them.
Correct.
So. Yeah, you know.
We'll see.
So I guess they have a practice today, and we're going to get the big walkthrough, the injury update. So everybody's like talking about that.
Well, everybody's saying about Jalen Hurts' knee, but nobody is indicating that he's in any jeopardy of not playing or limited.
Yeah, but if I'm not the sports person, but. If I were, I'd play a little poker and go, yeah.
It's,
oh, boy.
Yeah, we're keeping an eye on
Tell him to limp a little bit, limp around.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they think he's limited in mobility and then come right out and
run him.
Boom.
Run in the first play.
Shoot him up with those peptides. Yeah, whatever cortisone shots. Voodoo stuff they do. Well, peptides, right?
Yep.
Stem cell stuff, and they got all that magic.
See, if I was in that blue injury tent, I'd say, all right, here's what we're going to do. You have two options. You either take the peptide cortisone shot, or I'm going to give you two shots of stateside vodka. Either way, I need you out there.
I love it. Well, for the forecast, unfortunately, okay, I'll give you the long-term outlook if you didn't hear me earlier say this. By next Wednesday, we're 50 degrees, so there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, relax, everybody. It's January. It happens every year.
Yep.
Thank you. So even though we'll finally reach our normal temperature for this time of year, we'll finally reach that by Sunday when it'll be 41. So for your today, 21 degrees, and then we pop up to 31 tomorrow. A lot of sunny skies really taking us through next Wednesday. I don't see any measurable or any precipitation at all, so sunny skies. But 31 today, 32 for your Friday. Saturday, 33. Sunday, we pop up to 41. Monday, Tuesday of next week, we hover in upper 30s, close to 40. And then, boom, next Wednesday, we're into 50. If Tony Bruno is listening to us, you know, and he's in South Florida, which I'm going to go stay with he and Miss Robin. I could, like, bring him some goodies or something.
Exactly you know? What they need.
He couldn't hit a bull's ass with a bass fiddle.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh.
It's beautiful there. We're sponsored by Kitchen Magic. Go to kitchenmagic.com today. Start your worry-free remodeling journey with a local, trusted, family-owned company that has been transforming kitchens for 45 years in our region. Kitchenmagic.com. Kitchenmagic.com. You got to do it. Thanks, Kitchen Magic, for sponsoring our news. Kale & Company News Live.
By the way, not to beat a dead horse here, but EKZ writes, hey, Nick, CJ Stroud looked better than Hurts last season. How did Stroud look this season? Little too early
Very
to call.
Very true.
Little too early to call Daniels better than Hurts.
Premature.
Fair point.
Calling.
Fair point. Yeah. I have no rebuttal to that, which is why I don't do sports anymore. I would have been like, oh, let's get a sports update and we'll go back to the phones. Yeah, he did have an off year. We'll see. 855-839-1210. We will come back. Cut sheet at 7:45. And also, we will get to Eric Adams. 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wawa. Yes, right now, Wawa Rewards. If you're a member, you can get a bonus offer for a $1 any size hot coffee. Yeah. And I'm usually a iced coffee guy. Those are $2, but in this weather, Hot coffee feels good.
Yeah, he does iced coffee. Every time we cross paths in the kitchen there, he's always putting the coffee in and putting ice cubes in. I'm like,
scooper, right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't get the...
Satan.
I don't get the throat clearing and the phlegm then from when I'm broadcasting with the hot coffee.
Like Dawn and I do.
Yes, that's correct. That's why I do iced coffee.
I get you. Wawa, I love
it. Yes, Wawa. Or how about this, and this is usually post-nap, a $3 Monster Energy drink. That is a 16-ounce can. If you're not a rewards member, what are you doing? Now is the time to join. Kale & Company, we are back after this.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Eric Adams, I mean, you're the mayor of New York City. And yesterday, he sat down with Tucker Carlson, and it's mostly on illegal immigration and the border crisis and what has ravaged New York City. And I want people to remember this before we play this clip. I've got some stats here from the Biden administration from 2021 through 2024, this was the percentage increase in illegal immigration in the seven swing states. If you recall, this election was about Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and then, of course, Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, Nevada. This is the percentage increase in illegal migrants in the seven swing states from the day Joe walked in up until the election. Georgia saw a 401% increase. North Carolina, 446% increase. Pennsylvania, 241%. We were actually the lowest of the seven swing states. Arizona, 734%. Nevada, 562%. Michigan, 775%. And Wisconsin, 467%. Percentage increase, illegal immigrants, seven swing states in less than 4 years. And ask yourself, why? Why did we not see those numbers in Tennessee? Why did we not see those numbers in California? Well, obviously, those that are definitively red and those that are definitively blue, we're just going to punt on. We know what it is and we know what elections come down to. A few swing states, perhaps even a few bellwether counties like Northampton County or Bucks County in Pennsylvania. Here is Eric Adams. Phil, this is clip K11 as he explains to Tucker Carlson what Joe Biden told him verbatim about illegal immigrants coming to New York City. Take a listen to this.
So you have no right to be here, to come into your city, and you have to pay for it, and you complained, and this indictment was punishment for complaining. Is that what you're saying?
That is clearly my belief, and based on several aspects of it, that I can't go into detail, but there are other aspects of it that shows me that, you know, I was targeted because of that.
So if we could just walk through and leave out the parts you can't talk about, of course, but this happens at the beginning of the Biden administration, which is close to the beginning of your administration. All these foreign nationals start showing up in New York. They have no money. They have no jobs. They have no place to stay. And you have to deal with them. And the taxpayers here have to deal with them. So you go to Washington. What were those meetings like?
Sharing with them that this was a problem. Sharing.
Who did you speak to?
I spoke with Julie Chavez, is one of the personnel, Perez, another personnel. I spoke with the president himself. I spoke with the president first. Then the president came here to New York City. The governor and I sat down with the president. And I said, Mr. President, I'm not sure what they're telling you about this problem, but this is a terrible problem that's playing out on the ground that we need to fix our border. And we need to just stop allowing people to come into the country with no destiny. We don't know what we're doing with them. And there was some that were coming here that were almost 6 months to a year, in some cases 2 years, without any work authorization. Like, what do you do with someone that cannot provide for themselves for that long period of time?
Well, what do you do?
We have to house them. We have to feed, clothe, house, educate 40,000 children, hold them into a shelter system, the complete package of what you would do for an adult that can't take care of themselves.
And so you tell the president and his aides this, and what do they say?
Basically, be a good Democrat, Eric.
Be a good Democrat?
That was the basic overall theme. You know, one of his aides told me that, listen, this is like a gallstone. It'll pass.
It's like a gallstone. It'll pass. Be a good Democrat, Eric?
I don't buy a thing Eric Adams says.
Could very well be lying.
Not a thing.
Could very well be lying.
It's all too convenient right now.
Or he could be targeted because he spoke up. Remember the timeline here. Okay. He started calling out the Biden administration late 2023, early 2024. I've got some dates on the timeline jotted down here. In September 25th, and you will recall this. We talked about it. Dawn had it in the news. September 25th, 2024, Eric Adams, indicted in federal corruption, allegedly took a $100,000 bribe from Turkish officials. And then on January 2nd this year, another law enforcement office raiding another top aide to Eric Adams. I mean, be a good Democrat, Eric. If I had to just guess here, with what I believe the agenda has always been, it's about getting new voters. It's about the great replacement. It's about having more voters in specific districts, in specific swing counties, in specific swing states to win elections under the assumption that these people will vote Democrat one day. I believe the Biden administration, Joe himself, or other top people, he mentioned two ladies there, Chavez and I forget the other one. I mean, if you don't think that that type of message in general was relayed to a lot of these sanctuary city, blue city mayors and governors, I think you're fooling yourself. Play along, play the game. Here's the playbook. Be a good Democrat, Eric. By the way, kind of a little racial undertone to that. Be a good Democrat, Eric. I don't know. If Trump said that to a black Republican, be a good Republican, Byron. What would the media say? I'm just wondering. I look at all of these numbers and you connect the dots. I mean, I don't think this is calculus here. This is basic arithmetic if you look at it. Dawn Stensland, your thoughts.
I will only say this about it, that it sounds big when you say $100,000. What I found interesting was that most of this had to do with upgrades in flights. That's what I've read. So in other words, when he was flying on these trips, they would upgrade him from, you know, coach to first class. Now, in some of those, I guess he requested it.
Mm-hmm.
But many officials have come out and said, uh-oh, we're all in trouble, because they do this for anchor people. They do this for high-profile people all the time. And so if that's really all that this encompasses, I think they have a hard time because, man, a whole lot of individuals, unless you have a private plane, take these free upgrades. Airlines do it all the time. And part of it is maybe, yes, it's a celebrity, if you will,
mm-hmm.
but also they do it for a safety and security aspect as well.
According to the Post, he was indicted, in September on bribery, wire fraud, and conspiracy charges, as well as soliciting campaign contributions from foreign nationals.
But in part, they're saying some of those, Nick, were in the form of a trade. You know what I mean? Like a bump up, a better room at a hotel or a flight. You know, you were coach. Now we're going to give you, and the country's going to pay for your first class upgrade.
So
you know what I'm saying?
Let's ask the question that everybody probably has already answered. If Eric Adams never spoke out negatively about immigration in his city, do we think the feds are raiding his office over what he's alleged to have committed?
Here's the thing, is that if you look at the timing of this, all this corruption and indictments and all this crap that came down about him, all of a sudden at that time, that's when all of a sudden he took a hard stance against immigration. If you listen to stuff that he said before, he was the complete opposite. So this is a CYA tactic by Eric Adams, because he's hoping that the next administration will be more fancy to him, more friendly to him. You know what I mean?
Oh, so you think this is a cozy up attempt to get with Trump?
Yes. 100%.
Just like all the billionaires 100%. In tech.
Yeah, he can go screw. Honestly, I have no use for Eric Adams. Yeah. I mean, he's been so wishy-washy on everything.
And oh, yeah, I have no sympathy for him.
New York is not a city I give a rip about.
Yeah.
But, you know, let them have him. But I don't think that he's genuine at all. I think he's just doing this to cover his own tracks.
Just to localize it for a moment as we wrap up here before the cut sheet. I mean, how would this play out in Philadelphia, whether it's Sherelle Parker now or Jim Kenney in the past administration? If they put up any sort of resistance, or if they publicly spoke out about illegal migrants in the city as a sanctuary city, do we think that they would be dealing? Because we know all of these politicians are lining their pockets. They're all corrupt. But usually, if you march to the beat of the party, you don't get raided. You don't get investigated. So, but if I'm gathering what you say correctly, Stocker, you think that this is more of Eric, of the administration working against Adams. And now Adams is like, well, then screw you. I'm just going to spill the beans to Tucker Carlson.
100%.
Two things I would say. Number one, they keep talking about this, that yes, it looks like a six-figure amount, but when you look through the indictment, it's all of these upgrades that the foreign entities gave to him. So my question is, are they going to go through and look at all of the officials and elected officials who were upgraded and so on? Then we should be equal in that investigation.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask for that. And number two, to Greg's point, the timeline. I thought, as I recall, the timeline was that this story broke and the feds were raiding things and his aides after he went and met with, remember, he went to Texas, or there was a back and forth. So then it would appear that it was in reaction to him saying, I need this money. So did he know that this indictment was coming? That's right. Greg's point.
Mm-hmm.
Greg is alleging that Adams knew the indictment was coming, right. Yep. And used right. that as the cover.
Right. And then I would love to know, in some of these swing states, whether it's Michigan or North Carolina, North Carolina's governor, Roy Cooper, Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, you go into all of these seven swing states, which major cities in those swing states have a Democrat mayor or yep. statewide a state governor? And to me, the question and the investigative approach should be, how many other people were told? Because this is where the numbers were skyrocketing, and New York was not on the list, because New York is not a swing state, as we know. 855-839-1210. We will come back, get to a Wednesday edition of What is on the Cut Sheet. That'll lead us straight into Tony Bruno, and that'll lead us further into the 9 o'clock hour and all the humor and frivolity that ensues in the final hour of this program. We're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You've heard me talk about Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, how much I love my patio doors, the wall of glass that Chapman installed right outside my foyer area. You know by now, if I needed windows, doors, siding, I'd only trust the Chapman family team. Until the end of this month, until the end of January, and you got to do this, you can receive 50% off any standard door installation when you purchase a new door. And think about a new front door, entry door, what that would do as far as giving your home really a look of a makeover. If you have maybe an upcoming wedding, graduation, a special party coming up, something this spring, I'd take advantage of this fantastic promotion before it's too late. Who wouldn't want a gorgeous new front door in all your photos, right? Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, they carry a range of top brands you can choose from, including Provia. That's what I have. And they're going to work with you to pick the perfect door just for you. You can visit their showroom in Westchester, or they can come to you. They'll come to your house, do all the measurements, give you some ideas if that's what you need. But whether you or somebody you know, you're looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, all the hardware choices, whatever that is, just give them a call. You can text them too. They're local. They're listening right now, and they're like-minded. Great people. 610-431-8898. Or you can take a virtual tour online, chapmanwindowsdoors.com. chapmanwindowsdoors.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
I love the fact that haters consume me. I really do.
I want everybody. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I really do.
I don't love everything Nick and Dawn say and Dom say and Rich say, but like, it's like, let's have a debate. Let's have dialogue about it.
This is the platform to do it.
They don't love everything I say.
You can say whatever you'd like as long as you don't curse.
Dawn yelled at me this morning for interrupting her too much.
Yes.
I love it. I like, you know, it's good. She's right.
Spanking machine.
Shut the hell up.
I spanked him during the commercial break. Yeah, he's better now.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. All right, let's do this.
What's on the cut sheet?
You hear these ads we're reading? Remember them. Ooh, what's on the cut sheet on this Tuesday? Is it Tuesday? No, it's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Boy, I got that wrong.
We are not going backwards.
Is sponsored by American Heritage Credit Union. Is your auto lease nearing its end? Consider a lease buyout with American Heritage. You'll choose a cost-effective option that keeps you in the vehicle you love. Learn more about AmericanHeritageCU.org/auto. Insured by NCUA, not a member. Join today. Equal opportunity lender. Thank you very much for sponsoring the ever-important Wednesday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. Okay, let's start here with cut three. I need to start with something funny.
Yeah, yeah. Been a serious morning.
My head's going to explode if I don't.
Oh, no.
Does anybody here consume Skinny Pop? You know, the popcorn?
Yes.
I love Skinny Pop. Thank you.
My daughters have had it from time to time.
The salt and pepper.
Yep.
The best.
You like pepper on your popcorn.
A little spice. A little spice. Oh, it's delightful. Delicious.
I like a little garlic powder on my popcorn.
I could go with that, too.
Yeah.
This person says that, you know, there's all, like, the skinny girl margaritas, the skinny pop, all that stuff. You know, there's this whole brand. She says it's fatophobic.
Oh.
The skinny brands are fatophobic.
So, like, Diet Coke is fatophobic?
No, anything just with the word skinny in it.
Oh.
Because monstrosities like her feel...
No, ma'am.
Not
nice. The National Organization of Men Against Amazonian Masterhood.
They feel that they're being put upon.
So a simplistic adjective, yeah, like skinny,
yep,
used as a marketing, yep, ploy to sell a healthy alternative, is hating on a certain community.
Roll it.
Using the word skinny to market products that have fewer calories or are healthier is fat phobic. Skinny pop, skinny cow, with the tape measure tied around the waist. And you can try to change the logo, but it's still fat phobic. Skinny girl.
Egregious. Just egregious.
To make something have fewer calories, less sugar, you say make it skinny? Smoothie King? I hope you can now see how people use fat phobia as a marketing tool. It's not about those options having less calories and less sugar. It's the way they're marketed.
It's called capitalism, toots. If you don't like it, run away.
Or just run.
You know, I mean, you literally burnt more calories bitching on TikTok than you did on the treadmill. So it was probably a good day for you. But I would just say two things, as I always say to these people that lose their mind over this embracement of fat. Number one, I mean, look, the reality is this. Just learn to say, no, thank you. I'm full. Okay? That's, we start there, right? Smaller portions. The diet, because you can exercise all you want, like I do. But when I eat six slices of Sicilian pizza on a Friday and then do the treadmill, okay, I accomplish nothing.
Yeah.
So it's smaller portions, healthier food,
yep,
plus cardio, core, and lightweight training. You're welcome.
I was going to do some sit-ups last night after I had a bowl of turkey chili, and I was just like, nope.
A little turkey chili.
Not going to do that yet. Yeah, so good.
I'm a big fan of the turkey.
Oh, God. So
the only thing I'll say of it, say with the Skinny Pop or anything like that, there's so much false labeling.
Sure.
That you know, oftentimes they'll say something is, I don't know, healthier, or for people with different ailments or diabetes, or you want to do the keto thing, whatever that looks like. And I do think the labeling, you have to know your stuff, because they lie.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the Skinny Pops, because to me, the popcorn is what's skinny.
Yeah, agreed.
It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah,
it's,
look at the ingredients.
The ingredients are like, so I just think for people, this lady doesn't have maybe any health ailments, but I do think but I mean, I think on a serious note, there's like a lot of labeling. They say it's healthy. It's so unhealthy.
Agreed. What did Trump eat for his first meal back in the White House?
Skinny Pop.
This is the former White House chef that prepares the meal. His name is Andre Rush. He worked in the White House as a chef for four administrations: Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump. A tomahawk steak.
Hey.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey. Reverse seared, hopefully.
This is Andre Rush showing how he's preparing this meal. Go for it.
Hello, I'm Chef Andre Rush. Everybody knows me as the White House chef, decorated military veteran, and today I'm going to be preparing the very first meal that I would do for our 47th president of the United States of America. Let's get started.
And for the first meal, as we come together as a nation, I chose this tomahawk.
Oh.
Big, bold, strong, and iconic, just like our American flag.
Look at that.
I didn't just want to do a dish for the president. This is America on a plate. The tomahawk steak represents strength and determination. The smoky red blaze that lit up so high and extinguished, saying we've lost and rebuilt each time. The chimichurri, the land that we stand on, the green beans for growth and prosperity. Altogether, the depth and boldness.
Look at the heart and soul of our great nation.
The asparagus.
Red, white, and blue. Valor, bravery, purity, vigilance, and justice for all. Here's a new beginning and continued strength to our great nation. Together we rise, stronger and united. Congratulations once again, Mr. President.
He does. 91 LSXer says it's Michael Irvin jacked. He does look like Michael Irvin.
Is. It is. So we went from Skinny Pop Chick on TikTok to Lou Ferrigno.
Let me ask you, Kale, because I don't know where you're at in your diet regimen. How do you take your steak?
Medium.
Okay.
Medium. The higher the quality beef,
agreed,
the more red.
Dawn, if you're eating steak, or when you did eat steak?
Medium rare.
Medium rare, yeah.
Wow. Medium rare.
Gotta be good.
That's how I take it, too.
Yeah. Filet.
So good. Tomahawk.
I'll go medium rare on filet, obviously with prime rib.
Yeah.
Strip steak or a ribeye, a little bit more cooked medium.
A good ribeye with a nice layer of fat, so it's juicy enough.
And by the way,
starving.
I made steaks just like that for Larry and David last night.
Nice.
But I had a nice salad with some tuna.
Oh.
I'm into my tuna phase.
Yeah?
Like tuna. Like
real, real tuna, not like bumblebee canned.
Because it's just, it's high protein, totally low fat.
What time should I be over tonight? About 6?
I know, right? Come on over, baby.
So you go with a really healthy tuna. I go canned. I throw a bunch of mayonnaise in it. Then I get some cheese, some shredded lettuce, some onion, put it on a Kaiser roll.
By the way, anybody dieting or wanting to eat healthy, steak. I'm telling you. Stop with the
red protein.
Meat, red meat's gonna kill you. No, it's not.
You're gonna get dementia.
Yeah. Okay.
I was in a study.
I know it was the study.
The study.
By the way, steaks. I'm on a big McCormick Montreal steak marinade. The dry rub in the bottle.
Just put a little olive oil on it, bro. You don't need all the rubs. Just put a little olive oil on it, maybe a little pepper. You're good.
Salt, pepper, garlic, crushed red pepper, and I forget what else is in the McCormick one.
Speaking of Kamala Harris, she spoke to the L.A. Fire Department.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
You know, it's funny. You know, we got a few people yesterday, the trolls, who are just like, is this
the best you guys can do?
She
lost.
It's like, I mean, listen to this and tell us that this is not worth mocking. Roll it.
Strangers who, in the face of that stranger, they see a neighbor. These are folks who understand the strength and the value of community, which is everyone coming together with a shared sense of purpose and identity as a community of people.
Community banks.
And I wanted to come by, most importantly, to thank them, those who have volunteered and have brought people together and have sacrificed so much, and our firefighters. And I mentioned to these firefighters the fact that California firefighters, time and time again, prove themselves to be the best.
Yeah.
There you
go. They fight fires without water. They are the best. Yeah, it's amazing. Esty had such a great comment yesterday when I asked her, when she was doing her Kamala impression, you know, what are your plans? Are you going to run for mayor or governor of California? And she was like, yeah, I had planned on that, but Gavin burnt the whole damn state down.
It's great. You can see all that on Axe, by the way.
Yep.
We mentioned Tom Homan. He was interviewed yesterday discussing the deportation efforts that are going on. He says it has started.
Okay.
This is Cut 7, Phil. Go.
So, Tom, we were expecting, based on your initial schedule, that today roundups of criminal illegal aliens and the process of deporting them would begin. That seems to have been put on hold for a little while. When can we expect that to happen? Where will it begin?
No, it started.
It has started.
ICE teams are out there as of today. We gave them the direction to prioritize public safety threats that we're looking for. So we've been working up the target list. There was some discussion about Chicago because the Pacific operational plan was released. So we had to look at and reevaluate, does this raise officer safety concerns? And it does.
Mm-hmm.
But we've addressed that, and teams are all effective today.
So critics were saying, okay, you're going to round up people's abuela, their grandmother, and ship them back to where they emigrated from. Who are the people that you're targeting, at least in this initial phase?
Right out of the gates, public safety threats. Those who are in the country illegally that's been convicted or arrested for a serious crime. But let me be clear. It's not only public safety threats that will be arrested, because in sanctuary cities, we're not allowed to get that public safety threat into jail, which means we got to go to the neighborhood and find him. And when we find him, he may be with others. And unlike the last administration, we're not going to tell ICE officers not to arrest an illegal alien. So if they find others, they'll be arrested. So sanctuary cities are going to get exactly what they don't want. More agents in the neighborhood and more collateral arrests.
I got to tell you, if I had a backbone, boy, would I love to be an ICE agent in this administration. Rolling into sanctuary cities, catching people that are convicted criminals or who have been released to the community that are a major threat to people's safety and security, that have been given countless get-out-of-jail-for-free cards. I mean, why stop with illegals? Honestly, at this point, just get rid of all bad people. The last 4 years, as somebody who loves police officers and respects the profession, the amount of people, remember, the individual in New York, in the Daniel Penny situation, I believe it was Penny, it might have been a different story or a different case, was arrested 47 times.
Yep.
Whatever happened to three strikes and you're out? Is that no longer a thing?
No, 47 strikes and you're out.
My God.
Maybe you're out.
Yeah, maybe.
By the way, Trump yesterday in the 5 o'clock hour held a press conference announcing the creation of the new major American AI company called Stargate.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which will invest $500 billion into the country and potentially create 100,000 new jobs immediately. This is just a little bit of the announcement from yesterday. Cut 8, Phil, go.
Together, these world-leading technology giants are announcing the formation of Stargate. So put that name down in your books, because I think you're going to hear a lot about it in the future. A new American company that will invest $500 billion at least in AI infrastructure in the United States and very, very quickly, moving very rapidly, creating over 100,000 American jobs almost immediately. This monumental undertaking is a resounding declaration of confidence in America's potential under a new president. Let me be a new president. I didn't say it. They did. So I appreciate that, fella.
I've actually read that a lot of these positions will start in the six-figure salary range from nice. Jump Street, which is nice. And I tell you, if you are tech savvy, I mean, this is a great time for you to capitalize on your ability with technology, computers, you know, artificial intelligence, all this stuff out there. Because if you look at some of the jobs that are the most in demand right now, I mean, they, along with the trades, they are right near the top. So if that's your skill set, man, you could cash in for sure.
NVIDIA stock rose, is already rising in the pre-markets today.
Yep.
Because NVIDIA is obviously the AI, biggity big AI company.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of tech and stocks, did you see that Netflix is now up to $968 a share?
And it's weird because they just raised their prices.
Yes.
They did. And they're, well, it's because they just announced that like they have like 300 million plus subscribers.
It's unbelievable.
I know.
Netflix, Apple, and Amazon are just going to run the world.
It's funny you say that because I sent you guys an article yesterday about how they were talking about the ratings for the inauguration going down. They were down from 2021. They were down from, you know. And you, Nick, you can say what you said.
Yeah. Let me pull it up real quick.
You said something to the effect of it's because people don't watch TV anymore, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You sent us the ratings from showbiz411.com. Ratings down 9 million from Biden's 2021 inauguration, with middle age and young people tuning it out. And it was actually right before I went to bed. I said, nobody watches TV anymore except for me. Trump preached
but
young...
What do you mean by that when you say TV? Do you mean...
Like live television?
Yes, like...
I don't even DVR a ton of things. Like, I make... Like, if I'm going to watch something, I make sure I watch it when it's like, coming on.
Like, Dawn, you watching YouTube TV does not count because it's streaming. You're streaming.
Well, and technically, I have YouTube TV as well. Yes. So maybe I don't apply to this anymore.
So yeah, neither of you count. That's what I'm talking about, is that it's not that people don't watch TV. It's that they... Their form or their mode of getting TV is different than you know, having a box and
right.
You know what I mean, like having Comcast
cable,
come over,
yeah.
Verizon come over, yeah, it's different.
So
than
does
that.
Nielsen no lo- Nielsen doesn't count?
They
YouTube?
Do. They count streaming, but it lags, and it's like a different, like it's plus streaming and plus mm-hmm. this and plus that is when you determine the ratings. My question for you, Kale, is that I grant it that more people are getting their news and their watching habits from their phones or whatever. Why hasn't the NFL ratings not dipped then?
I actually think the only reason cable television still exists is for live sports play-by-play anymore. But I actually think in a couple of years, within 10 years, I think the Super Bowl is going to be on either Amazon, Apple, or Netflix. And I do think eventually... CBS, NBC, ABC, and any other, you know, linear television, network television, I think they're going to lose the rights. I think streaming is going to outbid them.
Well, I mean, look at who has the NFL package, the NFL Sunday package. It's YouTube TV.
Yep.
So they're already going the way of streaming,
mm-hmm.
Nick, to your point.
Yeah.
But it's still the over the... The NFL numbers, the Super Bowl, it's going to be still 90 million people.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to go up from last year. There's no question in my mind.
Yeah.
So in every other aspect, besides the NFL, cable TV is going down. But the NFL still
a juggernaut.
Yeah. It's crazy.
You'll get that report will come out probably at some point this month or in February.
Yep.
The top 50 rated broadcasts of the last calendar year on cable, and it will be like 42 of the 50 will be NFL games.
Well, not just NFL. I mean, Netflix, they attributed, in fact, this latest jump in their 19 million new subscribers. And I can say this is my household. It was that Mike Tyson,
yep,
Jake Paul, the boxing match.
Like Glitch Fest.
We had to get all that because I have, because of my sons.
Yep.
And so they're driving that.
Yep.
Yep. But in regards to your email with the ratings for Trump, I also, want to point out that, Trump reached young people on things like TikTok, which he talked about. But I'm not surprised that the numbers are down, because this was always the thing for us when I was doing sports for many years, is losing creates appointment tune-ins, which means I actually, and I've lived it, where when the football team that I was talking about, whether it's in Philly, Nashville, or Atlanta, after a win, things would dip a little bit. But boy, you have a coaching disaster or a quarterback turnover that cost you the game. Next Monday, from a content standpoint, you're like, yeah, they lost. It's going to be great.
All right, getting back to the Trump announcement yesterday about the creation of the new American AI company, Stargate. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman was also on hand to discuss about this. This is what he said. Cut 10, Phil, go.
I don't have too much to add, but I did want to say I'm thrilled we get to do this in the United States of America. I think this will be the most important project of this era. And as Masa said, for AGI to get built here, to create hundreds of thousands of jobs, to create a new industry centered here, we wouldn't be able to do this without you, Mr. President. And I'm thrilled that we get to. I think it'll be an exciting project. I think we'll be able to do all of the wonderful things that these guys talked about. But the fact that we get to do this in the United States is, I think, wonderful. So thank you very much.
Could you just say one word? I hear so many positive things about what it's going to do for medical research and for solving things, cancer and all the different problems. How will AI help us with the fight against the various problems, diseases, etc.?
These guys can maybe share more about some of the work they're doing there. I think they'll jointly be some of the leaders.
He has no idea.
Driving progress here. Yeah. But I believe that as this technology progresses, we will see diseases get cured at an unprecedented rate. Mm. We will be amazed at how quickly we're curing this cancer and that one and heart disease. And what this will do for the ability to deliver very high quality healthcare, the costs, but really to cure the diseases at a rapid, rapid rate, I think will be among the most important things this technology does.
All right, so Sam Altman said when he started, I don't have much to add. Actually, I do. I have three things I want to point out. And I'll try not to be as monotone and as boring as another billionaire guy with a ton of money and just zero charisma or personality. You know what's interesting is he's saying that they're going to be able to cure diseases. You really think Big Pharma is going to allow that to happen? You really think we are on a collision? Yep. If what he is saying is accurate, and I don't know a ton about artificial intelligence other than, deep fakes on social media. So we're going to have a collision course of artificial intelligence with Big Pharma for the sake of the betterment of humanity. But somebody's pockets are about to get really wiped out. And Big Pharma, Big Food, these lobbyists, these groups, these special interests, you think they're going to allow that to happen? Because if you can, quote, cure cancer, so to speak, right, with artificial intelligence, how do you think Big Pharma feels about that?
Yep.
With chemo and radiation? I've always thought a lot of these diseases, they probably can be eradicated, but that's not profitable.
Yep.
Yeah, but the Big Pharma is just going to invest in AI. It'll just be another one of their pathways.
Ah. See, take it to the next level.
Right.
During this press conference, he also took questions from reporters. The first one asked, we talked about this yesterday at length in this hour here, about TikTok. And Trump said yesterday that he wants a 50% ownership from the U.S. for ByteDance, for the owners of TikTok. If we're going to do that, he's given them 90 days to negotiate this deal. We had a spirited conversation yesterday on whether it would be the U.S. government that does it or a private company. A reporter asked Trump if he's open to Elon Musk buying TikTok, which I said, I'm fine with any sort of private business person buying this because it does make good business sense for both both sides, because ByteDance TikTok needs the American consumer to consume TikTok for it to be profitable. So it makes sense to make us some sort of a deal here. Mm-hmm. I'm against the U.S. government getting involved in this, but let's hear from them. Cut nine.
Let me do this first.
Are you open to Elon buying TikTok? Are you open to Elon buying TikTok?
I would be if he wanted to buy it, yes.
And on your inauguration,
I'd like Larry to buy it, too. I have the right to make a deal. So the deal I'm thinking about, Larry, let's negotiate in front of the media. The deal, I think, is this. And I've met with owners of TikTok, the big owners. It's worthless if it doesn't get a permit. It's not like, oh, you can take the U.S. The whole thing is worthless. With a permit, it's worth like $1 trillion. So what I'm thinking about saying to somebody is buy it and give half to the United States of America, half, and we'll give you the permit. And they'll have a great partner, the United States. And they'll have something that's actually more valuable because they have the ultimate partner, and the United States will make it very worthwhile for them in terms of the permits and everything else. But so think of it. You have an asset that has no value or has a $1 trillion value. It all depends on whether or not the United States gives the permit. So what I'm saying is let the United States give the permit and the United States should get half. Sounds reasonable. What do you think?
Sounds like a good deal to me, Mr. President.
Sounds like a good deal to me, Mr. President. Oh, God, the ass-kissing is just disgusting.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So listen to what he said there. Mm-hmm. Musk can buy it, but then has to give it to the U.S. government. Right?
I don't think they... This is where he brainstorms out loud in front of the media.
He's spitballing, yeah.
And so... Maybe you think that's transparency, but I think that the lawyers have to look at it and have to go, Mr. President, like they have to make it legal and then look at the conflict of interest. And Elon Musk is like, he's not a government employee. Like, I don't know. They have to look at all of that.
Will you two go on record and say that if the U.S. government takes control of half of TikTok, it's a bad thing?
Oh, it's I don't want.
I'm not going to say
even
that
if Trump does it.
Silly.
Even if Trump does it,
it's a silly thing to say because it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it won't happen.
It's just silly.
Nor would I ever.
This is what he does. He throws this out there because there are some people biting at the bit. He wants a bidding process. He wants everybody fighting over this. That's why he's doing this.
It would be state ran media. I just run. Yeah,
run, baby, run.
Like the lady with the slim popcorn. Run. But then, like two things with this is number one. Could you imagine the media meltdown if Elon bought this? I mean, they've already lost their collective minds over him restoring free speech on X. If he were to own two, heads would spontaneously combust. And then as far as the joint venture goes, as far as millionaires and billionaires jumping in and kind of, you know, pooling their money together to buy it. I mean, for the most part, these billionaires are not stupid people, right? So I would actually argue, and I could be wrong on this, TikTok has probably peaked. It's probably reached its highest value.
I disagree.
But look at how many social media things last 3 to 5 years, right? Whatever happened to let's go back in time. All right, let's start with the internet era. AOL Instant Messenger came and went. MySpace came and went. Facebook's still strong. I don't know that Facebook is still the juggernaut that it used to be. Some people argue X is not what it used to be because of Elon. Some say, well, it was better under Jack Dorsey. Then there was Threads. Has anybody talked about Threads in months? I haven't heard Threads in a while. I haven't heard a lot about Snapchat recently.
It's different, brother.
Why is it different?
Because it is.
They're all modes of expression.
Agreed. But TikTok was such a huge juggernaut, such a huge form of communication. I really think that if it goes away and then comes back, it's going to be bigger than ever.
But what's the new one the kids are using now? Is it Redbook? What did we call it yesterday?
Red Note.
And right away, like Michael was like, oh, it's Zhang. It's the real name is like Zhang Zhang Ji or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they're going to that because it's another. Yeah. You know, it's allegedly, I guess, owned by the Chinese government. The one thing I'm going to say about this that everybody's overlooking, and this is why TikTok will grow. Why? Because only about 28% of TikTok's current users are Gen Xers. So think about Gen Z. Everybody markets to, we've got to have those Gen Zers. Mm. But they're not looking at who the Gen Zers live with. That's me.
Well,
that's my husband.
My daughters are below Gen Z.
Right?
They are Gen Alpha.
So think about it. This is where, who has the money? Who has the money saved? Who has the money invested? Who can tap into their 401k, or they almost can? That's the Gen Xers. That's, so think about it. Only 28% of TikTok users are Gen X right now. So make it now, look at, if you grow that to 65%, by the way, that's where the money is, then they're buying stuff for their kids, they're buying for themselves, whatever. Now you're talking. So if it's at like a trillion, Trump estimates, mm-hmm. and you only have 28% of your biggest money block, your spending block, boom.
So
there's your growth,
Trump,
opportunity.
Trump mentioned 170 million Americans that use it. And that's obviously a number that, you know, TikTok has probably provided him. Remember, the CEO was at the inauguration. But within that 170, see, this is where social media is a little bit misleading. There might be 170 million Americans that are, quote, on TikTok. How many of them actively use it? How many have created it 6 years ago and never went back on after creating it? How many use it to watch things but never post their own, you know, video or whatever you do on TikTok? I'm not on it. So I think that's a little misleading, a lot like the impressions and the views you get, right? Oh, my God, Tucker Carlson got 31 million people, 31 million views. And like a view is counted as if you just kind of scroll by it in your timeline. So it's a little misleading. I find it really hard to believe that there's actually half of the American population actively using it.
I think on TikTok,
yes. There's only 340 million people that we know of in this country. 50% seems high.
I think a lot more people are using it than. I mean, I feel like this election proved that social media is a huge juggernaut and it's not going anywhere. It's only going to get bigger.
So are we now going to start saying social media is real life, or is it still a fun house?
Look,
I think it's still a fun house.
You know, I know this is a no-no in talk radio to ever admit you're wrong on anything, but I was completely wrong on the social media thing. And yes, social media is how people get their news, how people get, it's real life for a lot of people. It's sad.
In
my opinion.
I get that.
But that's, I mean,
and
that's life now.
It's also how people create revenue as content creators, which, by the way, I just because you can make a few bucks, doesn't make your content great. We just have a lot of stupid suckers out there. But again, I'll go back to what you said with social media not being real life, because the majority of the hellfire, brimstone, outrage, doom and gloom, you don't see that in everyday life. When you walk into the grocery store, not everybody's triggered. When you walk into Target, like,
agreed.
You know, we are mostly a civil society with more commonality.
It gives you beer
Correct.
Muscles. You're going to say things you don't normally say to people,
right?
Because you're anonymous when you do it.
Yep.
All right, let's keep going with the Trump press conference yesterday on the H-1B visa program. This was a big topic of discussion during the Christmas holiday. You know, there's a disagreement on conservatives with this, and Trump kind of rides the fence a little bit, and he says, "I'm sort of both sides on this argument." Okay. Stuck in the middle with you. I think I know that guy.
9:50. Today in music history.
Roll it.
President, there's been some debate within your orbit over whether or not to keep or eliminate H-1B visas. What's your position on that? Do you want to keep H-1Bs or do you want to get
them? I like both sides of the argument, but I also like very competent people coming into our country, even if that involves them training and helping other people that may not have the qualifications they do. But I don't want to stop. And I'm not just talking about engineers. I'm talking about people at all levels. We want competent people coming into our country. And HB1, I know the program very well. I use the program. Maitre d's, wine, you know, experts, even waiters, high quality waiters. You got to get the best people. Now, then you go into people like Larry, and he needs engineers, and Masa needs, and this gentleman needs engineers like nobody's ever needed engineers, right? So we have to have the quality people coming in. Now, by doing that, we're expanding businesses, and that takes care of everybody. So I'm sort of on both sides of the argument, but what I really do feel is that we have to let really competent people, great people, come into our country,
yeah.
And we do that through the H-1 program.
So no to birthright citizenship, but okay to letting competent people come in. Okay?
Little rich there,
yeah.
I would agree.
Here's what it's sort of...
Don't take them literally, take them out.
I feel So
that's what
the thing
does.
I think of, you know, they're looking at like countries like India, things like that, different countries where they do great in math and science. So part of what starts to boil my blood is that let's think about Philadelphia or just American kids in general. We lack in the world. We suck with math and science. I'm sorry to say it so bluntly, but we suck.
No, we do.
And so all these jobs, what they're saying is, hey, AI, these huge jobs that are high paying jobs. And then they're going to, because there's like this urgent need, they're going to like pass over us. No, we right now is the opportunity. We should demand that are in our educational system. I don't care how they do it, but we need to, boom, starting at age three, really just fortify our schools and our kids everywhere with math and science. We need to infuse that into kids' lives. We need to make sure that American kids, you know, and people born here get these jobs first.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, when you look at the engineers, as he's talking about, whether it's on the AI side of things or the technology side or the infrastructure side, why can't you have your cake and eat it too? Why can't you find and, you know, whittle out and find the absolute best based on merit and then fast track their citizenship status to be here legally if it pays dividends for major projects, so to speak, in this country?
This is the problem. This is the problem where the billionaire tech bros, and I don't call them that, but that's what the media does. That's the problem where their influence is not good for Trump. Because they need people like this to further their businesses. Elon Musk needs these people. Vivek Ramaswamy needs these people. They all need these people. So this is where you get that rift between like the Steve Bannon faction and the tech bros.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because along with the departure from Doge with Vivek, there's a lot of speculation in some of these reports that I read yesterday that it was the whole H-1, the visa situation we are talking about, that actually broke out during the Christmas break where Vivek and Elon were butting heads on this. That ultimately, according to reports, is what wore out Vivek's welcome. Yep. I forget who had the report yesterday. Again, don't know if it's
Axios.
True or not. Axios.
Yep.
Where basically they were like, no, just... this guy needs to go.
Yep. There were two kind of different visions of Doge, and the vision that Trump wanted, because he said it, was Elon Musk's vision. So that kind of, you know, Vivek was kind of like, you know, out or because of that.
Yeah.
So, Ramaswamy.
Yeah, that concerns me because the look of that is that, you know, the white guys are, you know what I mean? The look of that is, oh, the white guys are doing this. And you have somebody like Vivek, who's brilliant, brilliant guy, did not grow up with wealth or privilege, but he would qualify, right, I think, for the black and brown community. Mm-hmm. And so the fact, if that's true, that would be very concerning. You want a diverse group of brilliant, fabulous people just saying, hey, we want to, on one hand, make sure everybody gets merit, but that should not exclude opportunity.
Correct.
So the truth of the matter is that I'm sorry, but if you're white or you have a certain look, you have better opportunity in this country. That's just a reality.
I also think it just goes to show you that.
No, Greg. Greg, look at Philadelphia. What happened to Philadelphia kids during the pandemic? Shall we review? Black and brown children, like 90% in our schools here, were shut out of school. They were shut out of Philadelphia schools.
It's very woke
of
you, Dawn.
And they suck in school. No, they were. They were shut during during COVID.
And I love it.
And then what happened with all the white kids? Why do you think people left? People left in droves. Where did they go? They went outside of Philadelphia where their white kid could still go to a school. Or they went to a private school. Who was left back here with the schlock?
Schlock.
And the teachers leaving.
Schlock.
And the kids who do excel, they don't even have the right math teachers for the kids. Like, it's our school system right now is a mess. And you know what Tony Watlington is talking about in Philadelphia, our superintendent? Oh, well, if ICE comes here, they better have a warrant for, you know what I mean? That's what they're worried about. They're distracted. Get focused, people, and improve our schools. But who suffers the most? black and brown children in cities like Philadelphia, Chicago, New York. Look it up for yourselves. And so isn't that a form of, I don't know, bias, discrimination? And so, yeah, they're left out because what is the government doing now? Here's the international student assessment. Number one for science and math, Singapore. Number one ranks highest globally. And then that's quickly followed by China, Estonia, Canada. You know where we suck in the United States of America.
What are they, 15-year-olds.
Oh, my God. It's like embarrassing. We're way below average.
Yeah.
And we're this wealthy country. Yeah.
It's been a nosedive since 1979 with the creation of the Department of Education. And Piers Morgan, how do you think Dawn's taking this right now?
Fobbed off.
He's fobbed off. Dawn is fobbed off.
I don't even know what that means. But
so you went down that road. I would just say I would go down a different road with this battle with Elon and Vivek. To me, it just goes to show you the influence and the power that Elon has right now over the Trump administration. You better be careful. If you're going to butt heads with Elon Musk, he might be right near the top as far as the power rankings of influence goes.
Well, Ambrose Evans Pritchard wrote a story this morning. The MAGA movement is out to get Elon Musk, and so is China. Trump may have to sacrifice the tech billionaire. Washington is too small for two such egos, according to this reporter.
I don't know. They seem like they get along now. I would just say I pray to God that this just everybody across the political gamut invest in our most valuable resource in the nation. They talk about drill, baby, drill. They talk about gold. They talk about minerals. Our greatest asset in America is our people. So invest in our people. Invest, really invest, not throwing money at these middle people in the school system, these bureaucrats that Paul Vallis, you know, caught and called out years ago. Invest in our children and do it right. That is the future of America.
That's right. 855-839-1210. 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Robert Half. Which is way better than Robert Fool, by the way. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help their recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI model, speaking of AI that we're talking about, to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. Speaking of talent, one of the greatest talents of all time in any medium.
Can we play the, can you show the, this is cut four, we're going down south to Florida, but where there is reportedly like 6 inches of snow, this is Pensacola, Florida. If you're watching right now on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHD, Rolafil. Look at all that snow in Florida.
Lots of snow.
Is Tony Bruno snowed in?
Mustard.
Where he's at. We'll find out, right?
That's correct. That's, I believe, they call a tease.
A tease.
In the industry.
Tease.
Yeah. Mr. Florida, Tony Bruno, next on Kale & Company.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.